That's not a knife. That's a knife. That's a classic scene from Crocodile Dundee. And it really shows us that you need the proper equipment when you want to fight, isn't it? When you come to your fight, you really need the proper equipment. If you're coming to a sword fight, it's no use having a letter opener, is it? Now, you need a real proper sword to have a good chance of winning. In a similar way, we need to have the right equipment in our spiritual war. You know, we've already been seeing that God has given to us all these pieces of armor to protect us, to have a good defense against all the attacks of Satan. But now we will see today that God also gives to us a weapon that we can use for victory over Satan. For just as our Lord Jesus fought the temptations of Satan in the desert with God's word, what do we have? We have God's word as our sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that we are to take up and use in our fight against Satan and the world. And so we shall see today that the word of God is not only useful, but the most effective weapon that we can ever have. It's the most powerful weapon that we can ever have in our spiritual war, to have against the evil schemes of Satan. And the word of God is an effective weapon in our fight because it is creative. It is a powerful weapon because it is through His word that God created the heavens and the earth. And this is what we read in Psalm chapter 33, verse 6 to 9. It should be in your outline. So if you have your outline open, the reading should be there. Psalm 33, verse 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. God simply spoke, and the heavens and the earth were created. This is the word of God that we are to take up as a sword. Isn't it powerful? Isn't it a powerful imagery to think that God spoke, and everything came into being? So when Satan attacks us with the temptation for creating things, we are to take up the word of God and be reminded that God is the creator of everything, that He is the one who should be glorified, not the created things. Why should we desire the created things when we have the words of our creator in our hands, which reminds us who we are and what our creator has done? There is nothing that God has not created, which means there is nothing we can desire that is greater than God. That is why we need to take up the word of God as our sword, as our weapon. For the word of God reveals to us that God is the creator and He deserves all honor, power, and authority. God deserves all praise because only He created the world. And not only that, but we see that in Christ, you and I have become a new creation. The word of God that has created the heavens and the earth have made us into a new creation as well. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Jesus, we have been made anew. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And because in John chapter 1, the Apostle John actually says that Jesus is the very word of God, the very creative word of God that created the heavens and the earth, we know that our renewal, our recreation, our being as a new creation is true. And it's powerful because God's word is the one that recreates us, that gives us a new being. For God's creative word made flesh in Jesus makes us a new creation. God strips away our old self and gives us a new being, a new self, to be made like Jesus. This means that we should not doubt that we have been recreated in Christ. That our new status in Christ means that we are something different to what we were like before. That God's word has not only created the heavens and the earth, but has created us as new beings, new creatures before God. Nor should we doubt our new status in God. Because if the word of God is the most powerful and creative force in the universe, we can be sure that we belong to God and that nothing can take away and separate us from the love of God. This is what the word of God teaches us, The word that so powerfully created the heavens and the earth powerfully works in our life to say that we are a new creation in Christ. Secondly, the word of God is an effective weapon in our fight because it is authoritative. It has authority. It commands obedience. Living in this world, we may be forgiven to think that God's word is no longer relevant, that it no longer carries any authority. People openly mock his commands and belittle his word in the Bible. They say it's foolishness. They say it's words are all made up, that it is words of a fairy god that doesn't exist except for in the minds of the delusional Christians. This is because Satan has so deceived the world that people no longer fear the word of God. But we must remember that just as God's word is creative, it also has authority. It demands obedience, which means it is still relevant to us, just as it was relevant to Moses, to Jesus, to the apostles. For what the world fails to see is that God's word gives freedom rather than constraining us. Obedience to God's word gives life and blessing. But the alternative to obedience, if you disobey, what awaits you? Judgment and curse. This is what Moses said before the people of Israel as they prepared to enter the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. This day, Moses says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses in Deuteronomy was speaking, preaching a sermon to his people to say, remember what happened in the desert. The people in the desert were not obedient. But you, as you go in, you must be obedient. Because if you obey, God will bless you. If you obey God's word, he will bless you. But if you disobey, he will curse you and cast you out of the promised land. And at the end of that, this is what Moses says. Now choose life between obedience to God's word and disobedience. Either life or death. And that's what God, the word of God is to us as well, isn't it? God's word gives life and blessing because it has authority to give it. Because the one who speaks behind those words, God is the one who will be blessing and who can actually curse as well. This is what the world has forgotten about God's word. And that is why they find no relevance of God's word in their lives. They can't see the point of having to obey God who they find has no relevance or authority in their lives. But this is not what the disciples of Jesus saw, was it? As Peter testifies in John chapter 6, verse 68 to 69, Simon Peter answered Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The disciples believed that Jesus spoke the word of God. They had heard him say all these wonderful things about the kingdom of God, about what Jesus had come to do, that he was speaking the very words of God. And the disciples turned around to him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? If you send us away from you, to whom shall we go? You are the one who is speaking the words of eternal life. The word of God is the eternal word of God, the word of eternal life. Where else can we go? Which means that obedience to the word of God is not optional, is it? It is a must. It is something that we have to do. Obedience to God's word is something that is demanded just simply because of who speaks it and the command that is given in the word. This is what it says in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If you don't read the word, if you're not in the word and obey it, If you don't listen carefully and obey what is said in God's word, then what does James say? You're like a man who looks in the mirror and turns around and forgets what he looks like straight away. That's a funny thing, isn't it? Who amongst us, after having looked at the mirror, turns around and forget what you look like? Not many of us, is it? That shouldn't be the case. And so James is saying, if you don't obey, if you have read God's word and don't obey, you are like that foolish man. You are forgetting what is truly important. So because the word of God is authoritative, it must be obeyed. And yet this world continues to rebel against God's word because they do not find it authoritative or relevant. They do not see the freedom of life that is given in the word of God. For the word of God convicts the world of sin, yet it gives us freedom from the guilt of sin as well. Which is why we have to take up the word of God as our sword to fight the lies of Satan. That the word of God is relevant and is useful and is needed for us, for our freedom. And thirdly, the word of God is an effective weapon in our fight because it is trustworthy. That is, it can be trusted to fulfill its purpose and its promises. You know, the one thing that comes up again and again in a survey about relationships, about having good relationship, is that you need to be trustworthy. There needs to be trust in the relationships. If someone does not do what they promise, if someone does not speak the truth all the time, the relationship will break down because you cannot trust what the other person is saying. If your other person in your relationship continually lies to you or continually fails to fulfill their promises, can you ever trust that person? And if you cannot trust that person, can you have any meaningful relationship? It can only be superficial. Their words have no power because it doesn't carry any weight, because they cannot be trusted with what they say. Which is why the word of God is so powerful and effective weapon for us. Because the word of God never fails. It is always true. This is what God proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 11. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word, once spoken, will fulfill its purpose. This is because God never lies, nor does he break his promise. And we know that God keeps his word because God's word is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. By his death on the cross, God has fulfilled all the promises. Everything that he said in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, that is the scripture or the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that is said in the Old Testament. Everything that God has promised, everything that God has said is fulfilled in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross was God's promise being fulfilled. God's promise of blessing and life is fulfilled when Jesus took our punishment and died in our place. God solved the problem of our sin by fulfilling his promise in the death of his Son. Which means that God's promise of salvation to us is trustworthy. That his promise of saving us from our sins, if we put our faith in Jesus, is trustworthy. We can trust it. No matter what the world says about life or after death or spirituality, we can trust what God says is true because it is already fulfilled in Jesus. We do not have to doubt whether God will keep his promise. We do not have to doubt whether God's word can be trusted because it is trustworthy and it has been fulfilled in Jesus. God has already shown us his faithfulness, his trustworthiness in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the word of God is an essential part of the full armor which God has given to us to stand in. The sword of the Spirit is what we are to take up in our fight against Satan and his evil schemes. The effectiveness and the power of the word of God means that it must be used, doesn't it? I mean, we can have the best weapon in the world, but if it's only strapped to our sides when we're going to fight, what's the use of having that weapon? You know, America has such a big arsenal, don't they? They have all these aircraft carriers, really fast, powerful war machines, and effective soldiers. But if they are invaded by other countries and they don't actually use those weapons, what use is those weapons? And similarly for us, we have been told that we have the most powerful weapon in our arsenal. We have the most effective weapon to use against Satan and the world. And if we only have it strapped to our side, what's the purpose of it? What's the benefit of having the Word of God? The purpose of the Word of God is not just to be strapped to our side like an ornament. Its purpose is to be taken up and used in our fight. For not only does it strengthen our faith, but it reveals the heart and downfall of those who continue in their unbelief. If the Word of God is creative in its power, if it is authoritative in its commands, if it is trustworthy in its purposes and fulfillment, then there can be no doubt what the outcome will be for those who believe and for those who continue to deny God's word. For the word of God will continue to have relevance regardless of what other people think. Regardless of what the world says about God and his word and his salvation, the word of God will continue to have relevance and authority because it speaks the truth. Because it speaks God's promise of blessings and cursing. It will continue to proclaim to the world that it is in sin. This is what we have read today in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. I'll read that again to you. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God is active and alive because it still speaks God's purpose and judgment. The word of God is clear about the consequences of rejecting God and continuing to live in sin. For it has clearly revealed God's character and goodness, his holiness, his godliness. And the Bible has clearly taught us God's expectation and demand of his creation, that God demands his creation to obey him, to honor him, to praise him above all things. And God's character and demand for holiness has not changed from the Old Testament time to the New Testament time to our modern times. God's demand for holiness is still the same. Even if the world may have moved on from the fear of God, even if the church may have moved on from teaching the absolute truth of God to socially relevant social justice, God's word cannot be changed or moved. It is still relevant and it still calls for obedience and confession of sin. Even with the advancement of science and philosophy, even with the advancements of our knowledge of the universe, the more we know, sin is still sin, isn't it? Sin is still sin to God. And God still hates sin. The world can sugarcoat sin as much as they like, but God still finds it unpalatable, which means the world desperately needs to hear the word of God. The world desperately needs the word of God to be thrust upon them, to reveal their dark thoughts, to reveal the sinfulness in their lives. The word of God needs to reach into the people's hearts, into the world's heart, and teach them that they are continuing in their sinfulness and in their rebellion against God. The world needs to hear the condemnation of sin and the salvation that is found in Jesus, that is only found in God's word. And not only does the world need to hear, but we also must take up the sword for our benefit, the sword of the Spirit for our benefit, because God still demands his people, us, to live godly lives. We are called to continue to live in a holy life, even though we have been saved. For we have, if we have confessed that Jesus came to die for our sins, then obedience to his word, to the word of God, is a necessary fruit that we must bear. We must bear the fruit of obedience if we truly have put our faith in Jesus. Although all that we need for salvation is to put our faith in Jesus, only by faith are we saved. But once we are saved, there is a necessary fruit that we must bear. That we must bear the fruit of obedience to God's word. And to live a life worthy of the calling we have received from God, we need His word. We need God's word to illuminate our path, to illuminate our life. We need His word to illuminate the remaining sin in our lives, that we become more focused on the things that we are doing wrong before God. We need His word to reveal the imperfection in our lives so that we can become more and more aware of what is pleasing to God and what is not. For if we are truly thankful to God, to God for His salvation, if we are truly grateful and thankful to the love that He has shown us on the cross, how else shall we live? If we say we love God and continue to live in our old way of life in sin, are we truly showing that we love God? You know, if I say to my wife that I love her, every morning I say I love her, but fail to understand or try to find out what she likes or she hates, if I fail to do the things that she wants me to do, am I really showing her love? Is my words of love any use if my life, if my action doesn't actually show it? If my action does not match the words that of love to my wife, then am I genuinely loving her? In the same way, if we say we believe in God and yet do not do what He commands, can we truly honestly say that we believe He is our Lord? So as the people of God by faith, we must put into action where our faith is. We must live the life that God has called us to live. And in order to live this life, we must be equipped by God's word. We must be equipped and trained by His word. And this is what it means to take up the sword of the Spirit. And this is what we have read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without the revealed word of God, we cannot know what God likes or hates. We cannot know what is holy or sinful. We cannot know how to live a life worthy of our calling without God revealing it to us in His word. So we must constantly, daily be in His word. Not just hearing the sermon preached or God's word read on Sundays. Not just in the discussion we have in Bible studies. But in our daily reading and devotions. For the Bible teaches us what is holy. It rebukes us for our sins. It corrects us in the path of godliness and obedience. And it equips us for godly living by revealing the truth of God's word to us. So, let's take up the word of God in our spiritual fight. For the word of God is the most powerful and effective weapon for our fight. Because it is creative, authoritative, and trustworthy, we can know that we will be victorious. Regardless of what the world may claim is the truth, we have the word of truth in the Bible. And it continues to speak judgment on the world and its sinfulness. And it continues to equip us and encourage us to live a life of faith and godliness. So do not seek any other weapon in your fight. Do not go for self-help and all those other things that tries to make you the center of the world. Go to the Bible that reveals that God is the creator, the center of the universe, the God who should be glorified in our life, and the God who will come to judge this world and its sin. Trust in God and His word. For that is what our Lord Jesus did in the desert against Satan, wasn't it? And that is what we are called to do in our fight against Satan and this world. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Because that will lead us to victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for your spirit who illuminates and teaches us what your Bible says to what your word says to us. Lord, help us to be humble before your word. Help us to see the necessity of obeying your word because you have loved us and because we love you. Lord, we pray that in our life, our life can truly reflect what you teach us about yourself and about godliness, and that we can boldly proclaim your truth to the world. So Lord, help us and equip us by your word to stand firm in our fight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.